The Biz Dojo, live from Status YYC.
Here's a name I haven't heard for a while.
Yeah,
really.
What a great show.
Brilliant. I would argue it's like, you know, super influential in like what's happening now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the throwback.
I don't even know if I'm like, it's not actually jogging anything in my brain.
Well, we're going to have to educate you.
I'm like, I know the name, but I can't think of what it is.
It is a great show.
It's Gary Shandling. You heard it. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, The Biz Dojo, live on location. We are at Status YYC. This is a really cool shop. And I learned about it from an Instagram post from our guest today, Mr. Jason Ribeiro. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. And it's always good to be back at Status. Love the atmosphere. Love the early partnership that we've established with Davin and the team here. And just one of the most, you know, culture-driven places in the area. And so, yeah, anytime I can be here, I'm here.
You're here. Absolutely. Down in Kensington, beautiful view, a little bit of a snowy day today. I'm giving a weather report now.
The Biz Dojo.
Minus five.
I was saying earlier too, like, I love these windows. It's just people watch all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Apparently this is a hot intersection for a lot of things, but I digress. So the reason that I did come down here, I picked up this t-shirt, Calgary Surge, launch merch. I think it's sold out at this point.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done.
Pretty much done.
And not to be reproduced. So these will be the only ones just to signify this moment in this city that October 19th we launched and we're here.
October 19th, the Calgary Surge came into existence. You are the president and vice chairman of the team. You wear a lot of hats, though. Like, just looking at your LinkedIn profile and, you know, doing a little bit of research, like, you're into a lot of stuff. So just curious how you introduce yourself.
Oh, good question. So, you know, I start with, you know, what's most important, because there's a lot of titles there. But, you know, Jason Ribeiro, and I'm a dad to a beautiful, beautiful young boy named Mateo, husband to an incredible woman, Natalie Shime, and I'm a Calgarian by choice. You know, grew up just outside of Toronto in Hamilton, moved to Toronto, downtown Toronto, when I was quite young, and made my way here to Calgary in 2015 when the bottom fell out. And the reason I did was because I moved here to do my PhD, which I'm, knock on wood, you know, wrapping up at the end of the summer here, which...
Congrats.
Thank you. Still got to close it out, you know, very Kobe-like, job not done, yeah. Job not done. But that's how I moved here, and then I fell in love with the city. And so the hats I wear are just a reflection of my interests, but also communities that, you know, sort of welcome me with open arms. So I'm a board director for organizations like Sport Calgary, the Alberta Motor Association, on the Grants Committee for Education Matters, the Charity Trust of the Calgary Board of Education. I'm a broadcaster, political commentator for Global News. But above all else, like, I'm just a proud Calgarian, really, really grateful that we got to be in this position to bring pro basketball back to Calgary, but to Calgary in a very new way. This is a new start for the city. It's a new start for us. And yeah, that's usually the top line of what I give. But yeah, I try and cut through all the titles because sometimes I can get hairy.
Just get to who you actually are. And I love you led with dad. That's something JP, Nate, all of us were all dads, and I think take a lot of pride in that. So that's a great place to start. So one of the original OG guests in the Biz Dojo, I think he was like the tenth or 11th guest we ever had, was Mike Morreale, the prez, the CEO of the CEBL. And even back then, so this is winter 2020, early 2021, he was talking about wanting to come to Calgary, knowing that this market, or believing that this market, would really support a team. At that point, they were unsure what kind of facility would, you know, be able to support the team. So, you know, it's been in the works for a while. You were able to kind of bring it home down that final mile. Can you give us a little insight as to like what that process looked like as you became the owner or one of the owners of the team?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I've got a, like many of us, I assume, have like an NBA chat in one of our iMessage groups with a bunch of buddies. And I remember, I think it was March of the year prior, that there was this international tournament coming to Winsport called the BCLAs. And I remember our friend group, you know, sort of messaged and said, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, we should probably go. And then we had a, you know, a few conflicts and we ended up not being able to attend. But I remember seeing the playback. And I remember, you know, it was probably like a really rainy weekend. And it's a tournament people really haven't heard about. And, you know, from an optics perspective, I think it could have been misleading. You know, it was probably a third full or something like that. But a third full at a venue for a league that was, you know, at the time, you know, in their fourth year, for an international tournament I'm sure not many people had heard of, which was not a local event, but billed as a kind of international event coming to Calgary.
Well, and the other like kicker to that is the host team essentially was Edmonton.
Right. And I wasn't even going to mention them, but you're absolutely right. And so with all of those caveats, to see over 1,000 people there for 3 straight games, I just kind of went, didn't think anything of it. And so you fast forward, you know, I've taken 8-9 months off to be a dad. I'd left an executive role, wanted to make some real substantive headway on my PhD. And I remember this press release coming out. And as the legend goes, I screenshotted the press release as soon as I read it. And texted my friend and business partner, Usman Tahir Judd. And I said, are we doing this? And he said, yep. And that, you know, started this incredible 2-month process of negotiations, but, you know, earning the confidence of our partners in the league, all the way fast forwarded to standing in front of Winsport, launching a professional sports team. So there wasn't, I think, a lot of time to diagnose and think about the significance. But I can tell you, on behalf of Usman and I, we had no aspirations or dreams of being professional, you know, sports owners in that sense. Like what we really thought about was, this is the perfect intersection of our unique interests, backgrounds, commitment to community, commitment to family and the next generation, but also, you know, this would be a test of our instincts of the city. And I think we're people who pride ourselves on, like, we're the people who show up, we're the people who support. And hopefully this is a reflection of our instincts of Calgary, that Calgary's ready for that next new city building project. They're ready for that next kind of cultural zeitgeist moment. And they're ready for something actually kind of different. Think about the store that we're sitting in right now. Like, I don't know that this is possible 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And here we are in a really casual environment talking about professional basketball in the city and one of the coolest, you know, buildings in town. So yeah, it was a whirlwind, but a lot of fun as well.
I think a lot of businesses start that way. I know we were somewhat similar, where we had this conversation and then out of nowhere we were like, so are we doing this now?
Well, even the CBL, like when we talked to Mike, the whole thing was generated over breakfast and back of the napkin.
Yeah. And I would say to that point, and look, Mike is a big reason of why we're here today. Not just in the work that he's done prior. And I said this at our press conference, not wanting to age him, but, you know, I remember going to Iverwind Stadium to watch Mike Morreale play as a kid. Mm-hmm. That same field that he was competing on, you know, for Grey Cups on, I won, I think, my CYO double B, you know, flag football championship on. So even, and I, you know, I think we even went to the same high school, you know. Now I will age him. Decades removed. I'm much younger. But you know, that's such a weird full circle moment. But to see what he's built, to now be partners in this experiment, and to have benefited from his leadership and also have guaranteed his leadership now through the next several seasons, I think is really, really important for stability for our league, but also just, you know, one of the main reasons we got into this in the first place.
Just reading up about your story, your background a little bit, I was reading an article that you said you wanted to live a purposeful life. Like, that was really something that you intentionally sought out to do. And I'm wondering, like, how has this experience played into that purpose?
It's a great question. You know, I go through phases where, you know, I'm not someone who needs a lot of motivation, but when I recognize a need, I get super motivated. You know, I remember when my son was born and, you know, and I've talked about this in other platforms, you know, having a little bit of a fractious relationship in my home. And like, I know, and so many Calgarians, Albertans, Canadians, people who grow up and, you know, struggle a little bit to find their place. You know, my story is no different than that. And when my son was born, you know, the ability to see that need of saying like, no, that boy needs his father and needs him at home, motivated me to take that leave, motivated me to sort of quiet a lot of things down and be dedicated. I think I'm motivated the same way here. You know, I see a need, and in that need, I see purpose. The need for the city is, I just think we're ready to take that next step of not getting involved in the analysis paralysis, not, you know, I worked as an executive literally in Calgary Economic Development, which is the role is to sell the city abroad, sell Calgary to the world, but also sell Calgary to Calgarians. And I think, you know, where this opportunity presented such a real, you know, put a real battery in my back was because this is a vehicle to do some of the things that we know just need to be done in this city. We know that there are people who are coming from all corners of the world, but all corners of the country, and they're looking for a youthful, energetic, modern experience that reflects changes in fashion, changes in music. And I saw a need to say, like, I don't know that that's being fulfilled. And we could be one small part of that. And not push many of the other properties or groups outside of their comfort zone to try and do that. Maybe just we just fit in and really nicely. The purpose as well around what, you know, Usman and I want to do for youth in the city. I read the same statistics I'm sure you do. There's challenges with gang violence. There's challenges with, you know, youth falling through the cracks. And let's be clear, I could have been one of those youth at one point in my time. So I find purpose in the ability to really live the ideals, live the values that are baked into the vision for the Calgary Surge, and bring players here that are going to be role models, not just people who are going to put, you know, 20 points up and leave. I find purpose as well in the ability to say that all four corners of the city can unite behind this team, and we're going to be intentional about fostering those relationships. And lastly, I feel really purposeful about the fact that, you know, you're talking to, you know, one of two people who are of mixed race, who are of South Asian descent, and the ability to be in the third most diverse city in the country and show that this can include all Calgarians, wherever you may come from, whatever language you speak, whatever, you know, person you love, whatever faith you practice, that you can come here in a space, enjoy the game, but feel a part of this community. That gives me huge amounts of purpose. And the fact that I was able to do in the city a lot of other things that tapped into that, the ability to do that kind of all under one umbrella was super, super exciting. And I think that's why you kind of hear that instantaneous reaction from the two of us to say, yeah, we're doing this, because it fit all those boxes. So yeah, purpose is really at the core of why we're doing this.
I love that. I think a lot of people would look at somebody purchasing any business or starting any business as starting that business. But the way you talk about it, it's about a culture, having a culture shift within the city. I don't even know that I can completely wrap my head around how much work that actually is, because running the business on its own is one thing, and living the values is, you know, one thing that you can do. But how do you kind of wrap your head around that? Like,
yeah, because it kind of becomes like you look at the whole elephant where you got to bite off a piece a day, and you just got to live those values, I think. And
yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think being purpose driven allows you to not have to think about those things. I think you start to think more of those things when you're not quite comfortable bringing something to market, or you don't know what you don't know. There's certainly like, there is an immense learning curve. And, you know, while I'm here talking about the business and, you know, certainly about the early success that we've had, you know, there's an amazing team, a team, actually, two individuals we brought over from Guelph, the original franchise, who've been just invaluable to us and great people. Even someone that we hired from Ottawa that had some exposure to that team. You know, certainly our partners now, and there's a lot of independently owned teams in the league, feeling really confident about the voices that we've added to the table, the voices that were already there. So, you know, it's not all on us. Like, we're the byproduct of that partnership and success. But I got to tell you, yeah, it's a lot, but it's not in some ways. We were doing 10%, 15% of all of these different things that uniquely applied to bringing a professional sports team to a city. And again, like, you know, we wondered sometimes, like, are we going to get kicked in the teeth here? Like, do we not know? And I think that would have been a real challenge for us if we brought this in a way to the community that we thought would be really well received and it wasn't, that I think would have been a challenge because we would have been tied up in that. It's not just our business instincts. That's like, it's what we believe about this city. And what we thought was, yes, we have, you know, a really diverse group of skills and together are a pretty strong team. And, but if our instincts around bringing this to the community, around bridging all four corners of the city, of being this home team, you know, where you are welcomed and feel at home, where, you know, we've been intentional about engaging the community, if that didn't fly, and we weren't seeing that in season ticket deposits, or we weren't seeing that in sponsorship, that would have sucked. But luckily that didn't happen, and I'm sitting here real happy. Yeah. I would have been all disheveled coming in here. I'm like, boys,
would you like some tickets?
Yeah, exactly. But now I'm holding them. Yeah, so you're not going to get your paws on them. But yeah, like it's just been brilliant and wonderful, and purpose and having those experiences and being able to channel all those. Like, I'll close by saying, like, that's a really wonderful, lucky opportunity in life. If you're doing all of these cool things and you get a chance to apply them at once. And in my case, you get to do it with someone that you like is your friend that you truly respect and truly value. Sometimes when I get out of the operational weeds, I get a chance to really appreciate like how special this is. And while I'm one small part of it, I just can't wait for what this means for everyday Calgarians.
Yeah, totally aligned. I remember, I think I was chatting with Josh at the BCLs, and he said, or Josh Knoster, who was also a guest on the dojo at one point, and he said, "Do you think it'll work in Calgary?" I'm like, I know it'll work here. That's just my belief in sort of being in the Calgary minor basketball circle for a little bit. And I think the stat was after the Raptors won the championship, youth basketball enrollment like quadrupled in the city.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's sustained through COVID, but there is definitely like an underswell of interest in basketball at the youth level. And I wonder, like, obviously getting into this, you definitely would have had some ideas on potentially how to connect the dots and help the youth of the city. As you've been getting into it and getting out to some of these events, I know you had the event at the Genesis Center. I saw you were at the women's basketball game between the Dinos and the Bears.
Pandas.
Pandas, yeah. That's what it is.
They're Bears. Pandas are Bears, too.
So you're out and about, you're in the community, you're talking to people. Have you really connected the dots yet on how the surge can help sort of create some spaces and opportunities for the youth of this city to maybe, you know, move away from some of the violence and different, you know, trouble that they might get into otherwise, and how that you can kind of play a role in that space?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's two pieces there. One is, you know, if we're communicating in public in a way that's inviting, inclusive, but also aspirational, you know, in a way that, you know, taps into that dreamer, that entrepreneur, that artist, you know, it's quite intentional. Like some of the things that you'll see us post, you don't actually see a basketball located anywhere in the frame or in the graphic, et cetera. And I think that's because, you know, I said at our launch, we want to be more than a basketball team. And that's that cultural zeitgeist moment about the city and how you find your purpose. That's got to be critical. Like that's got to be critical to how we bring this to the community, because, you know, this sport, more than any other, I would argue, has the intersections with fashion. Like, I grew up watching Allen Iverson, you know, coming through the tunnel and getting fined. You know, I remember, you know, that Space Jam soundtrack, and you know what I mean? Like, and wondering what these guys were listening to pregame. I saw the overlay between hip hop and the sport, you know, the you know, each referencing one another in a real way. There's not a sport on this earth that does that at that level. And so, you know, if you're launching a pro basketball team, you got to do all of those things. And so you saw at the home team celebration, it wasn't just, you know, hey, we're going to bring our general manager and senior advisor here, but we're also going to have a DJ, and that DJ is going to play Punjabi music and soca and pop music. And we're going to do it in a part of the community that we know sometimes gets overlooked, and we'll be able to live our values. And I declared, and I don't think I even told the team, like, that's our home away from home. Like, we're going to be there. The team there has been so wonderful, but it's just one of my favorite places in the city. So I think communicating in that aspirational way of being more than basketball, I think, is going to be really inviting. Now, the second piece is the mechanics. So you saw us show up to a lot of these events, and one of the key rules, and I think we're still finding our way a little bit, one of the key rules I have is we do not want to cannibalize anything that's already going. You will not see us stand up a whole other business line where we're running a bunch of things that we know other partners can do well. And so for us, it's really been important to learn about what others are doing, what other leagues are doing, what this landscape looks like. And one of the most beautiful moments was, I think, about a month or two post-launch, I had the entire, as many as we could find, basketball community into our office. And you saw everyone from the post-secondaries to the elite performance athletes to, you know, your house leagues, all the way down the list. And we said, like, we want to be really aligned as an ecosystem. We don't see this as zero sum. How do we all do this together to grow the game and support the game? And one of the most important caveats I said was for both boys teams and girls teams. And Saturday was one of the most beautiful experiences, not the outcome we wanted as a husband of a University of Calgary alum and a current University of Calgary PhD candidate. But just to see that place rocking, the quality of basketball, the great program that they have, I think was a really great moment for us to see and witness, especially because we brought our general manager, our senior advisor, and our staff. So those mechanics, I think, will work out over time. But the rule is, let's enhance what already exists. Let's bring attention to what already exists. But we're not in the business of cannibalizing any of that. We want to see them grow on their own name. And any way the surge can come, enhance, show love, as we've done for numerous events, we will.
I remember seeing the first iterations of some Surge stuff showing up at Winsport when I was playing hockey there. And it was, everyone in the dressing room was talking about it. So I know there's just so much excitement. I happen to live very close to Winsport, so extra excitement. But I think it's the first time in a long time. And, you know, I grew up in Ontario as well. And There was a couple of teams that launched over the course of, I won't age myself, younger than Mike Morreale. But there were a couple of teams.
Can we make that a hashtag, younger than Mike Morreale?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just like, let's paper that
everywhere. That's the over-ender mark. Yeah.
But,
by the way, he looks younger than all of us right now.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
He's a fit dude.
Doesn't age, yeah.
But I've been, like, I've seen a few teams launch. I've been in the area when teams launch, and I don't think I've felt the same thing like I feel with the Surge. I don't know if it's that I'm a little bit closer to it, having a, you know, conversation with you now and living right there and just a different time in my life, but it definitely feels a lot different.
Yeah, and look, it's registering different, I think, on the business side too, right? Like we're blown away by the community support beyond our wildest dreams. Like Usman and I have this dynamic where, at least in this case, you know, when we started this journey, you know, one's the skeptic, one's a little bit more the optimist. And I think from my sort of optimistic perspective, being involved in, you know, Sport Calgary and a number of other groups, even, you know, as one of the sort of founding board members of this project called Active City, where we really did a deep dive from a research perspective on, is being an active city a competitive advantage for Calgary compared to other markets? And I think just across the board, from a, you know, everything from the University of Calgary's kinesiology department and school to, you know, this rise in wearable tech to now, you know, obviously what our professional sports properties do, but even a venue like Winsport and, you know, who's playing, you know, and engaging in winter sport activities, seeing how we spend more on sporting equipment than almost any other jurisdiction in the country. Like those were all good indicators. Yeah, like these were all... and by the way, Trevor Toome found that out. So if you have to take it up with The Economist. But like this is verifiable data. And so my lens on this was pretty optimistic to say, we just don't have this in this market. And I'll say one of the things that gave me the confidence was the strength of the CEBL. You talk about the buzz and what's happening. And I can't speak for the other properties that you're talking about, but from a business perspective, the things that the CEBL has done is very different than any other experiment in professional basketball in this country. I didn't see Canada basketball lining up before. I didn't see Spalding. I didn't see Foot Locker. I didn't see an airline.
New era
for our gear. Great national partners that we're honored to work with. And certainly I think are going to be part of promoting them here in this market as well too. But that didn't happen before. And to have that happen gave us a lot of confidence. So it's great that the buzz is building. And, you know, like I said, blown away on the season ticket side and the early success we're having.
And I've said this to JP and probably Nate behind the camera, anyone that I talk to, and I've had an opportunity to go to a few CEBL games, value for money. Like I want to get the most for my entertainment dollar. And, you know, the tickets are reasonable. You can take your family and not feel like you have to take out a small loan. There's not a bad seat in the house at Winsport or most of these venues because they're on the smaller side. It's a great atmosphere, and the basketball is fantastic. Like, it's really high level, really great basketball. The entertainment is there with the Elam ending. So it's been a great experience. And it's hard to find that. Like a lot of other pro sporting events I go to, I feel not that excited when I leave. But every time I leave a CUBL game, I feel excited. So, and I know that's definitely the energy you're going to try to capture at Winsport.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, sports are evolving, right? There's this blurring of the lines between sport and entertainment. And I don't know, you know, from a sector, whether you can just get away with being a sports, you know, provider or a sports, professional sports team. And that's the only thing that you're kind of bringing to community. And again, I think part of the strategy that we're taking is, and again, I don't know any other way to do this, is stop thinking about customers and start thinking about community. You know, I'm not interested in micro segmenting and targeting. Like, my audience is Calgary. My audience is 1.4, 1.5 million people. And I want to make sure that we're speaking to all of them. And my goal in that, and our goal as an organization, that if we're doing that properly and appropriately and thoughtfully, we'll get to our number. And that's different, right? And but that speaks to that more than basketball concept. So you're right. On our game day, Calgarians can expect, you know, high energy, really great pace on the floor because it's a FIBA game. It's a little bit faster, but also music playing throughout. Game winner every game. Some effort and thought that's going to be applied to how we activate pregame and postgame. And, you know, Winsport in the summer, you think about that plaza. Think about it filled with people and activities and engaging. What a beautiful thing. And again, so much of my instincts were actually seeing Toronto evolve in that way. I remember when Maple Leaf Square wasn't open to the public, where I was scalping my for tickets, you know, second period with my OSAP money, my student loan money, just to get in the door. But it wasn't for the public. I remember when so many of the beautiful things about that city were in the background, like Caravana. And it got brought to the forefront of the city. I remember when you couldn't point to a lot of musical artists that came from Toronto that were making noise, not just around the country, but in other markets. So I was there for that whole evolution. And I don't think the goal is to recreate that in Calgary. I think the goal is to say some of the similar pieces exist and how we activate that in a uniquely Calgarian way on the entertainment side on our game day, but as a year-round anchor part of community. That's what I'm really excited to get going on. But you're right, entertainment, looking at people as parts of community, members of community, really being intentional about reaching the people who are forgotten in community or are looked over, starting there. That's what I think I'm most prideful about, that we've stuck to those values pretty closely.
Yeah, love it. Gave me chills there just hearing you talk about it. Can't wait to bring my kids down. So one other thing that was going through my mind as you're talking is how important leadership is in any business, especially basically you're in kind of a quasi startup, like you're new to the community. There is some legacy that came with the team. I know you made some big decisions in hiring your advisor, our own Coach K from Canada, as well as Shane James as the new GM. What kind of went into that process and how much did you value their leadership and experience when you were kind of deciding to bring them into the organization?
Yeah, it's also a great question. I think, you know, one of the things that allowed us to turn our attention to basketball operations was really getting the business stood up properly, because there just wasn't that runway from sort of acquisition to launch. And so getting a really good foundation set with a really wonderful team. You talk about leadership. Again, I'll point out, it's me sitting here, but there's a lot of smart and thoughtful and diligent, hardworking people I'm so proud to be doing this with. I try and say that as often as I can, but I want to say that publicly because, you know, we're standing on a lot of shoulders here. So when I shifted to the basketball ops, like, let's be clear, we talk about community, we talk about Calgary. I don't often talk about the on the floor competition, that this is a professional sports team. I want to win. I'm one of the most competitive people you're going to meet. And even some of the things that we're talking about and how we've structured the organization and how we've launched a community, there's a competitive fire that also exists in that, right? Like we want to be the best at what we do, and we want to lift up a lot of people and certainly the league as well too. So I'm super competitive. And so one of the key things that we did as a team was really establish the things that we weren't going to compromise on. And one of the things I'm proud about is we haven't compromised on values. And so I'm honored that a guy like Shane James, who's dedicated his life to the sport, not just as a player, but as an entrepreneur, as a coach, as a nonprofit founder, who cares about youth, has developed youth from sort of tip to tail, all the way from, you know, sort of challenging circumstances in the GTA all the way to the NBA. It's a short list of people who can say that and have them tell that story, I think is really important. And you saw it, like, you know, at the highest levels, you know, the quote in his press release was from Brian Colangelo.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. So I think that was a really good validator for us. You know, our Coach K, you know, in his press release, you know, who was his, you know, sort of validator was the U.S. Coach K. So that I hope shows how seriously we're taking this, the pedigree that we're bringing to this sport and to this league, excuse me, but also the fact that we were not going to compromise on our values. These are great people, you know, good community members, parents, and people we're honored to stand beside. And I have no doubt that's probably one of the pieces of the business that I'm kind of happy to like let churn, because we hired the right people. There are things I know that I'm probably uniquely positioned to lead on, but that we've got the right guys, and you know, I'm quietly signing some player paperwork, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. So yeah, super excited to share that. But they're doing their work, but again, value driven, not willing to compromise on that. And they're similarly saying that about the players that they're bringing on board. We're not going to take any shortcuts. We're going to do this the right way, and we want to support people who want to be here with an organization. They can be proud to wear the jersey of, not in the short term just to get to that league look, but to really build roots and be a part of a vision of uplifting a major city in Canada.
You both talked a little bit about rivalry, and I know that will form naturally. But I'm imagining there's just a little bit of rivalry that's already started with Edmonton, because it's just the natural
who?
Calgary.
What?
What's in Edmonton?
What's
that? That city north of Red
Deer. Oh, yeah. I've heard about that. yeah, like I think, you know, there's certainly that competitive element, you know, but there's also this idea that, you know, I want to thank Edmonton. The success of their team, their program, I think is indirectly responsible for how we're sitting here today talking about a Calgary team. So I'm gracious enough to say they went through a lot of hoops and a lot of barriers to be able to now in their fifth year be where they are. And our early success is on those shoulders. Now, that being said, I'm looking to dislocate those shoulders, you know, on the court. And I think there's going to be a natural progression to that. I think, you know, you look at what the Calgary Surge represents in community is authentic. And I think one of the things we're going to take our time on is, yeah, we're super competitive, but we don't know what this means to fans, right? We don't know what this looks like. I think we're going to unlock potentials for potentially our fans to go to their games, you know, their fans to come to ours, you know, this sort of regional rivalry that I think is going to naturally evolve. But the terms and the battlefield, so to speak, on which it evolves, I think is going to be really over-indexing on it being authentic and not some gimmick, not something that we sort of conjure up. And I know my counterparts in Edmonton feel the same way. So we certainly feel a responsibility being a part of that Battle of Alberta lore, but we want to earn our place there, not just assume Calgary and Edmonton facing off that it's going to demand that kind of interest. So I look forward to taking that time, seeing how our fans respond, and giving them opportunities to really get in the weeds on what I hope is really a contentious but respectful rivalry on the court and off the court.
So the season kicks off, Jason, May 27th.
Yeah.
Battle of Alberta, the first installment.
Yeah.
For the folks that we've piqued their interest, where can they go learn more and pick up some tickets? It must be close to sold out.
We're on our way. Like, I think we've really been intentional about you know, making these offerings available to our sort of hardcore fans. You know, we haven't gone wide. We haven't really, you know, done a lot of talking other than the stuff that we want to do in community. So we've got a season ticket deposit campaign going on right now that's been, you know, again, wildly successful. We're going to start the process of getting in those flex packs, and then as we proceed, you know, closer to season start for those single game tickets. But we really wanted to identify and respect and support those early fans, the fans that have been waiting, the fans that are making that longer term commitment. And that's why I think we've had so much success, because you know, we're speaking to the people who've been waiting for this, and we wanted to reward that. If we'd gone really, really wide, certainly I think we would have, seen just all of these numbers kind of trickle in, but you know, that's not kind of who we are. Like, who we are is, you see us talking about home, you see us talking about family. We want to build this kind of mini little ecosystem from everything from our title sponsors, for the next 2 years, Zeno Renewables, friends of mine, to, you know, Davin and the folks here at Status, one of the early supporters of us, and really keep that group really tight. So I look forward to sharing a whole host of news. You can go to calgarysurge.ca to put in your season ticket deposits. By the time this airs, it might be flex pack season, it might be single game tickets. Merch sales are going through the roof. I just signed off on a huge order because we need to make sure we have it in time. But you're going to, you know, stay tuned to our social media. You see a bunch of really engaging Instagram content, but again, highlighting artists, highlighting things beyond the basketball. But then again, as we approach that season, player signings, head coach announcement, I can say with confidence that that's been secured. Can't wait to introduce that person to this city. But more than anything, I think one of the things that we're going to launch as well is a program to send really deserving families and kids to our games. You know, Usman and I were pretty intentional, and I think the rest of our team and even our partners, really intentional about getting those kids that experience, because moments matter. You know, you see this huge shift even in business to creating experiences. Well, we have this experience vehicle. How do I make sure that the kids who wouldn't otherwise have had that opportunity get that opportunity, and not as an afterthought, but really upfront, really top of mind? You know, 80 some odd days before the season, we'll be launching a new initiative to send hopefully hundreds of deserving families and kids to our games in a way that's feasible and amenable to entrepreneurs, businesses, organizations. And that's a real point of pride for us. And the goal then, we're looking at 3,000 fans, and we see all of Calgary reflected. And there's only so many anchor things that we can think about. Sports is one of them. Arts and culture is another. But if this can be one of those, you know, sort of investments in community, wow, what an opportunity. Now we just need to deliver on the court. We can deliver that game day experience, but I'm confident in the team, and I'm confident in Calgary. That's who we're betting on, is Calgary.
Love it. Well, I've got my season tickets, so I will be there on opening night. Maybe I'll bring JP if he asks. Real, real nice. thank you so much for joining us today, Jason. We really appreciate it. One last thing. We've been ending every episode with the Bowness Soapworks, one of our sponsors. You can go see Melba down in Bowness. She runs soap workshops, all kinds of cool stuff, really ingrained in our community. And she's been sponsoring our last question of the pod, which is, what is your favorite song?
Oh, it's awful. How much time do we have? 7 minutes? Because I can do a deep dive on this.
My mom did a whole TED talk
on this. Oh, really? Yeah. It's that's crazy to me. And I go back to one. And it's not a song I listen to every day, but it's almost like, I'm not an overly kind of spiritual person, but it's hard to hear this and not sort of feel something. It's You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. That build up, the kind of choir, it changes the chemistry in a room. And yeah, I'm a big, big music fan, which is why a lot of thought it probably went into that answer. But yeah, that's one. Like, I've seen it used in a lot of places where it was kind of out of context, but I think in the right moment, at the right time, you know, you see it in a movie, everything kind of goes quiet. meaning's beautiful, timeless, and yeah, a lot of draws from a lot of different genres into one. And that's a really messy mix. And, you know, you listen to anything on the radio today and it's kind of that fusion, but the core of it is missing. That's one where I just like, you see the influences for that band. Everything, and maybe this is a way to wrap it up. Everything that you're seeing with the Calgary Surge, I go back to that word distillation, is all of these influences. It's that, it's Usman being the eldest of eight, you know, rusty hoop in a ball, no glamour, you know, just raw passion in sport. You see my background of maybe going down a different path like many kids today and finding purpose. You see the influences of going to the Genesis Center and hearing Soca music and Punjabi music and country music all in one. That song, you know, is a distillation of, you know, the Rolling Stones and Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, you know, being in love with Muddy Waters and James Brown and, you know, gospel music, and then doing it in their own way. I hope what we're able to do in our inaugural season is bringing all of these influences, our lived experiences, but also all these different pieces of Calgary, and truly creating something beautiful that's worthy of that comparison. That's the goal.
Amazing. I'm going to be listening to that song on my drive home.
Yeah, me too.
And, I've oversold it. Yeah.
No, I haven't heard it for a while, and that's the perfect...
The choir part. Like, that's like, yeah, that's great. So we'll get that on the playlist. We have a playlist on Spotify.
Amazing.
All of our guests' favorite songs. And
It's quite the mix at this point.
It is. Like,
there is a variety of songs on there. It's great.
Yeah. Awesome.
So again, thank you, sir. We really appreciate you. And the Biz Dojo, big supporters, big fans, and anything we can do to help down the road, we're happy to.
No, thank you both for your support. And thank you to our host, Status, for having us today. Really excited to host you on May 27th.
And thanks to Nate, Strange Giant Pictures. Shout out.
That guy.
That guy that you can't see.